How's it going? I think that's Rhonda Orcott. See the Zeus man. I haven't gotten a haircut since my one after it opened back up after the COVID lockdown. Nice mug. Yeah, Dave, by the end of the week, I'm like a drinking coffee kind of all day long sort of fella, which isn't super good for you, but it's the way it goes. Hey, Candace. It was a stinking nice day out today, man. I took a pause from working out at Rainbow Rock, but man, today was a day I wish I had been up there. It's crazy. Up on those condos, man, and even with a little marine layer kind of settled down in the ocean, like below the condos, it's still gorgeous. It's really cool being up there. Other than the fact that you've got to climb up, I don't know, 40 rungs in a ladder. Oh, my finger. That was a while ago. I was having to remove a strap that was tied around the ball of a vehicle to pull something, and rather than like using a strap like with hooks or, you know, tying a knot like a slip knot or something, it was used just as a good just stinking knot. And so when you pulled, you know, towed something with it, it just cinched on the knot, and I was tired of stinking looking at it hanging off the back of this van forever, you know, because he couldn't get it undone. So I'm sitting there trying to cut it off, you know, with a razor knife, and just thinking, took a nice big old chunk out of there. But that was a few days ago. I get enough of them that I don't do any macho stuff with little nicks and stuff on my hand. I take care of them, man. I ointment and bandage those bad boys up pretty good, and then usually I wouldn't have it wrapped right now, so it'd just be drying. Holly Beyer and Michelle, how you guys doing, man? I was actually kind of looking forward to being on today. Had a good last few days. Been in a more you know, chippery mood than what I had been. Yeah. I know I'm not super unique in that I can have, you know, my moods can get kind of pretty melancholy at some point. So I was trying to eat better. That's another thing. I'm not the only one that whose mood can be really affected by what I eat, my diet. So sugar is, you know, I know when I spend even just a few days having too much sugar, it can start kind of wearing me down. And, you know, it's interesting. I've shared before that I was a drinker in my day. And it's a crazy thing when you stop drinking, you know, the come down and like getting off the physical dependency of the actual alcohol, you know, it only takes, and I had done it a few times. So I know what I'm talking about. It only takes, you know, 4 or 5 days or so to get, to kind of get the alcohol out of your system. But man, it takes like 3 weeks or so to kick the sugar dependency, because there's so much of it in booze. Yeah, I remember that. That's a tough deal. And not drinking any alcohol, but still, like, I can binge hard on a lot of sweets, like at nighttime, and it kind of gives you that same sort of, like, you know, I don't know, that same feeling. So I had taken quite a bit of liberties as of late with you know, stuff going on, and it's easy to sit down, and I can tear it up. I can sit down and take two pints of Ben and Jerry's ice cream down, lickety split, man, if I want to, and then try to carb coma. Yeah, I know, man. You get all loaded up with sugar, and it gives you kind of that same feeling that, you know, that a couple three beers can do, unless you're a lightweight. Unless you're a lightweight, Candace. What did I see? I'm trying to remember. I saw something interesting today that... Oh, no, it wasn't from today. Anna Marie Curtis and Candace, you guys brought up that that book. What was it? Healing Language for a Polarized Nation or something? I will... Candace told me she had a copy of it, so I'll get it from you at some point. I've got quite a... I'm like four books in kind of behind, so I need to get caught up. And still, for a long time, when I was younger I always read nonfiction, you know, nonfiction books, because I thought that it was, I don't know, important to learn stuff, you know, which it is, obviously. But I always read nonfiction until, you know, I picked up one Stephen King novel, and then that was it. And now if I try to read nonfiction, it just is like crazy boring. Good thing I already learned everything and know pretty much everything, so no more nonfiction. And a book that it was a smaller book that I'm trying to finish, is one actually that was written by Ron Real, a local realtor. He wrote a book, which is just kind of his life story. And I'm not sure where, I don't know where it would be for sale, because he gave it to me as a gift, but it was a pretty remarkable book. Someone actually reads books. I do. I can go in phases depending on how much time I have. I'm usually working on two at a time. Something fun, and then something you know, more educational or so. But I've been working on this a newer Stephen King novel for like 2 months or something, and Candace, I'm funny tonight, huh? That's funny. Yeah, well, I told you I was feeling chippery. I had Susan McKinney, if you're on, comment on something so I know that you're on. I had a chat with Bernie, with the Burn, Bernie Lindley, today. He reached out to me and wanted to talk, so I met him there at the Little Red Church, and we ended up talking for quite a while. And it's something that I wish, and in fact, both of us had mentioned that, you know, we just wish we had done this months ago. You know, had more communication months ago. Hey, Billy, man, how you doing? It's interesting hearing from him and his perspective, and hearing what his perspective is on how he feels the community sees him, and the city council see him, and the Episcopal Church, and what they're doing there. And it's really interesting and can be kind of eye-opening that he deals with a lot of the same, quote, homeless issues that you and I deal with and everybody deals with, you know, the handful of them that are just in serious need of mental help and, you know, and sometimes drug treatment and things, but you know, I always tend to kind of group everybody in one big bucket, you know, homeless folks, boom, and Bernie's a homeless guy, boom. So all those homeless folks are in that same bucket with Bernie, and they're all those people, you know, but they're not. They're all individuals, and he deals with the same things that a lot of us deal with. So, yeah, it's interesting. It was a good talk. You know, there's no doubt that guy's heart is for serving. They just and that small congregation just has such a large outreach ministry, and their focus is definitely on outreach. When I was there today, they had a big, like a big old red RV mobile dentist, dental like office or something. And that was pretty cool. Oh, Lance Badger on today too. So I know the whole, downtown bench removal thing, right? Some people caught that and I saw, I was tagged on one of the Facebook threads about it. So let's talk about that just a little bit, because I'm actually, you know, I'm looking for ideas and for comments about that. Okay. So you can imagine that a lot of those benches are, you know, used by people to sleep on and to kind of like hang out and almost kind of reside there. And there were two or three of them that, you know, had been urinated and defecated on so much that it was actually kind of like a halfway serious health risk. So they got pulled, and then, two of them that were in front of a couple of businesses, the nearby business owners, you know, reached out to the city more than once and just and begged for them to be taken out. So what's the solution there? And so realize that wasn't something that the council decides. That definitely wasn't something that I decided. That's something that, you know, people that we have hired to run the city decided. And looking forward, I need some help with coming up with at least maybe not a solution, but some ideas as far as, you know, it won't work if we just yank all the benches out. You know, what good does that do? I have a solution, but I think you already know it. Yeah, Diana. I mean, that's kind of tongue in cheek, though, right? Because obviously that wouldn't solve all problems, right? It would help, though. It would. But what do you do? I mean, you can't. It's nice having benches. It's nice having benches. And obviously, like, the benches could become part of a city crew maintenance routine where they get sanitized and pressure washed, you know, every other week or every week or whatever. But you know, they've become you know, kind of like commandeered and made into someone's residence, and that's obviously not what they're designed for. you know. Diana, I feel you, Diana, and I agree with you. I mean, yeah, do we even want to give it a try? Do we just want to give it a try? I mean, what is the worst thing that could happen, you know? And could it be, is it even possible for it to turn out any worse than the way things already are, you know? That's been my thing. Yeah, Michelle, I know. And there has been, you know, outreach to a couple of them. You know, there was really one main individual that, you know, I've talked about her on here, and you know, there's that lady, I can't remember what her name is. The city knows her name because there has been contacts with her. You know, but you go by and it's not like she's trashing the place or anything, you know. She doesn't ever have a bunch of litter around. But you know, obviously has some mental issues that she's in a place where she's just kind of, you know, using the bathroom as she lays. So I don't know. It's a tough one. I know that the answer isn't to yank all the benches, but the answer, it's also not a good answer though, just for them to be kind of open and up for grabs for people that want to just kind of take them and stay on them. But you're right. At the end of the day, we have a great number of people in this area that don't really have a place to be. You know, they don't really have a bed to sleep on, and I don't know. I've never been in that position. But if I can see, if I was a female and homeless, I wouldn't necessarily want to be hunkered down in some dark alley or out in some bushes, you know, just for my personal well-being. I'd want to be safe, you know, at night, even though I was sleeping outside. And so I don't necessarily blame her. I don't know. You know, those benches were put there as part of a downtown master plan for beautification and everything, and out in front of businesses. I can't imagine and can't really blame a business for just not wanting somebody sleeping out in front of the business all day long. You know, that's the thing. Yeah. Oh yeah, Anna. The housing situation. I know I've spoken mainly about housing for homeless, but you know, my gosh, there's hundreds of people in this city that are working, you know, working, but low income or moderate income that just can't afford to live here. You know, it's crazy. I mean, how are two people even working full time, but if it's working in the service industry or something, like they both work at Fred Meyer, you know, in order to actually rent a place that isn't subsidized, how could anybody? Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. What if we increase the number of benches than homeless? That's a lot of benches. That's a whole lot of benches. I don't know. I personally think that it's probably it's just going to require an upkeep. It's going to require upkeep on the benches. They're going to have to be cleaned and sanitized, you know. And we're going to just have to live with some of them being you know, used all the time. I don't know. Well, I'm summing it up, depreciating. Okay, so I don't see Susan McKinney, but Susan asked me about the water situation, and actually we've talked about this a little bit. Borax came up in the conversation, and in fact I had mentioned one of my chats maybe that I could go over the borax development, which I didn't do, but basically Susan McKinney asked. You know, the river's getting pretty low, so how's the water supply for the city? So right now, the Chetco is running, it's over 100 CFS, cubic feet a second. I think it's around 110 or maybe 115 cubic feet a second is what it's running at. The average, and don't, I'm not signing these, like, precise numbers in blood, okay, so give me a little grace if I'm off just a little bit. But in this city, the water that's furnished by the city of Brookings, so that's actually for some people outside of the city too, is about 2.5 cubic feet a second for most days. So 2.5 CFS. Right now the river's running at about 110 CFS. The city of Brookings has certificated water rights of something close to or more than 5 CFS. So we're using roughly half of the water that we are right now today permitted to pull out of that river. So, you know, you could do the math. We could about double our size and still pull water out of that river the way we do today. So when we're thinking about a great big huge development like Borax that's, you know, talking about 1,000 homes and people sounding the alarm of water, the math doesn't really support that. So when I look at the math and actual flow rates and everything, we still have quite a bit of water. We have a lot of water. Now for me to say, oh, we have a lot of water, I mean, holy smokes, that people look at me like I'm an idiot, right? But again, it's numbers and math. So water curtailment and water conservation comes into play when the Chetco River drops below, or I think it's actually when it drops to 80 CFS for like 3 consecutive days, and water consumption at the city for the city goes up to like 4.5 cubic feet a second. It triggers water conservation. In the last 12 or whatever 13 years maybe that I've kind of been involved at the city, I think I can remember 3 times that we entered into the voluntary water conservation stage. And I'm pretty sure only once that it became a mandatory water conservation. And really what it was just, you know, irrigation. You couldn't water your lawn or you couldn't wash your car. Dave Barnes, I'm assuming that's for me. Yeah, knock on wood. You know, the thing about the numbers that I just gave, you know, I don't know, things can change and environmental regulations and things can change. And I'm not so sure that we could, I don't know, I could see ODF&W and some state folks getting more stringent on our water use. But as far as what this city is allowed to take out of the river, we've got plenty, and there's quite a bit of growth that can happen. So that's not so much of an issue. Typically, and I want to say that time it's like mid and late October is when it really gets. It's halfway common. I mean, I'm sure the river this year will dip below 100 CFS. You know, I'm sure we could see it at least in the 90s, if not in the 80s, running that low. Depending on when the rains come, right? So any time there's been water conservation, we've seen it in October. But Susan McKinney, if you you watch this afterwards, it's okay to still water your lawn. And then Beth asked me about the property behind the rest area. The Harris Beach rest area that she thought was county owned property, and I'm still kind of confused as to what she's talking about, because my understanding down there, and I live on Parkview, so I live up here. The rest area itself, you know, the area of the rest area butts up to homes on Parkview Drive, and the only space in between there is an area of like a big trimmed right of way that power lines are running on. So I don't know of another big or even a small parcel that's owned by the county or really by anybody else that's undeveloped back there. And obviously the context was for a possible you know, homeless, something for homeless. We're supposed to water our lawn and wash our car. News to me. Yeah, I know. I gave up on washing my cars because, I mean, you just, you know, drive on a dirt road once, and I'm usually on dirt roads a lot, and especially every weekend, and it just comes back like caked in dust. And sooner or later, it rains here, and it kind of washes it off your rig. So I wash my Tahoe once a year, and it's only in the springtime when there's crap kind of growing like on the windowsills and stuff, you know, you got moss and stuff growing on there. So I wash it once a year. Diana, I'm glad you're on, because I want to talk about, I've been chewing on and kind of wrestling with the idea of having the four council candidates join me for one of these Facebook chats between now and the election, because last I heard it'll rain again. Clean car, yeah, Lance, that's what I go for. You know, last I heard there's not going to be League of Women Voters candidate forum, so someone correct me if I'm wrong on that. And you know, even if they did have that, I think it could still be a worthy endeavor to have council candidates on here with me. My viewing has come down quite a bit. I've noticed in the last, I think like the last 2 weeks, when I look at how many times my videos are like viewed, for quite a while they were all about 400, you know, 400 views or so. And then the last couple of weeks, it's dropped down to like 200, or even maybe a little less than 200. But that's still enough. That's still enough people that if I were running for city council or something, it's still folks that I could get my message out to. So, Diana, you think about that. I know three of the candidates, Diana Cooper, Ed Schreiber, and Brad Alcorn, I know are on Facebook, and I know, I know they're on Facebook because I know they've watched some of my videos here, and I'm sure would be perfectly happy joining me. Anthony Bond, who I don't know super well, I don't really see on Facebook. So, you know, I would like to, I'd like it to be kind of an all or nothing sort of deal. I don't know. It doesn't quite seem fair to me to have three on and just, and one kind of left out. You know, and I don't want to get into, I was asked if I would, if I endorse candidates, which I don't. And I don't think I ever have. There's been, like the last election cycle and during the forum and all the candidates are kind of up there and we all take our turn talking. Well, if you were in the room and watching those and you saw me speak and like Ron Hedenskog talk when he was running for council, you know, there was a lot of like kind of not really back and forth, but you know, well, what we do, you know. And so there was kind of like this kind of pairing. And so, you know, most people that saw that would assume that we're endorsing each other. But I don't want to do that. I want to stay away from any sort of endorsements or anything. So I'm trying to figure out how I have people on here and talk to them and ask them questions. But to do that in a fashion that's just really, without any bias. So I think I can, I'm going to reach out. Diana's on. So you just heard me say it. I'll reach out to Schreiber and Alcorn. And I'm pretty sure, I'm assuming Diana, that you'd be cool coming on. And I know Brad will be too. And I'm kind of assuming that Ed Schreiber would join us. And then, you know, Tony Bond, I don't know. We'll see. You guys, you've got to have some outlet to get your message out there. And these being broadcast on KCIW, you know, that'll get you into some homes of folks that don't have, you know, don't do the Facebook thing. Yeah, make a list of questions and ask the same ones of everyone. And Candace, that's kind of the normal MO, you know. Same with like when I've sat on interview panels and things, we're supposed to always ask the same questions to everybody. And like obviously a basic outline, you know, could be done like that. But you know, Candace, how I do these, and I mean, I'm not like an interviewer, and I just start, you know, I'm just chatting with folks. So depending on what they say, you know, it could steer the conversation. And I don't know. So mature, Jake. Well, I'm glad you think so, Holly. I'm probably overthinking it, you know, and it'll be just fine. I don't know. There has been once or twice though that I've said things that I wish I could take back. Just once or twice. Sometimes things kind of leave my lips, and if it happens, but I don't know. The candidates definitely need you guys need a way though to kind of propagate a message. So, and I'm perfectly happy. Would actually enjoy doing that with you, and having Doug Bunn on, that was pretty cool actually, you know. And I was pleasantly surprised when I went back and watched the video. The video feed of him that you guys all saw was quite a bit better than when I was watching him on my when we were doing it, right? There was a good portion of when he was talking that I could hear him and the audio was okay, but the visual, you know, all the pixelation and everything was just like I couldn't even make him out. When I went back and watched the video, there were a couple times, you know, when his video feed went out for all of you guys, but it was a lot better than what I was having. So that was cool, and it's just it's becoming you know, it seems like it's gotten better each time that I've done it. So I'm hoping that could work. Yeah, Candace is a pretty good interviewer. You know, Candace, you're another one that I've never had on. And so, Candace, you and I, like, do radio interviews, you know, every week. Which our last one was a good one, too, guys. That'll come out pretty soon. I've never had you on here, though. You know, we could do a video in which you're talking about our interviews. That wouldn't be crazy. And then I haven't mentioned this to Silas yet, but Silas needs to write me a theme song. I've heard that from a few of you, and me, Dave. Well, right there, that was Silas, and everything else is nothing but me just kind of spacing and searching my brain files for something. So. Okay, so Diana, think about that, and I think I'm actually kind of thinking, like, I realize that it's only August, but if I, there's four candidates, if I got one of you guys a week, and you know, we could kind of get it, do it sooner rather than later, and then maybe again, kind of, you know, kind of when it gets closer. I don't know, but it would be cool. I think it would be cool. Dave Barnes, you got my lyrics for the theme song? Yeah, dude, as long as they're PG, you know, approaching PG-13, but really kind of hanging on the PG, Yeah, Diana, that's what I would do. So what I would do is post, Mr. Bojangles, I would post something like I do now with, okay, I'm going to be on Thursday at 6 o'clock. But I would post, you know, I would do it a bit more ahead of time, and I'm going to be on Thursday, you know, September, whatever, with Diana Cooper, and you'll be tagged in it, and I'll get people to put, questions on there, and then, you know, see how that goes. You know, so far I haven't really had any issues with, like, you know, real, like, nasty comments or questions that are, you know, not really, like, not real legitimate questions, but really just kind of pokes. I haven't gotten those too much. And if the people watching these, if the people watching had that in them to give pokes, I think that they would have given them to me already. So I'm optimistic that if we put that out there and ask for questions, that I can ask Diana when she's on, or that Diana can respond to, I think you could get some good ones. And if it's posted like that, you would be able to see them, and I would be able to see them. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the Jake show. So if there was something that, a question that you didn't want to take or whatever, then you just don't take it. Yeah, just ignore the pokes. Yeah, that doesn't always, I've gotten better with that, but it's still tough. I don't like pokes. I don't like getting poked. Okay. Man, that, like, 35 minutes kind of flew by there pretty quick. I thought I had one more thing. I don't know. It escaped me. So, all right, guys. I'll see you on Sunday. Sunday, Silas has a cool new song for us that he's told me about. I haven't heard it yet, but he's working on it. And by Sunday, he should have the perfect theme song worked out and be absolutely perfection. I don't know. We'll work on that. But guys, have a good weekend. I think there's a chance of rain tomorrow, which would be really cool, man. We need some stinking rain big time. Good news on the 101 signs. Dave, was there something after the last email that you forwarded from me or to me from Danny? I figured there would be. Dave, from the beginning, I figured that the 101 signs thing would kind of work itself out. I really did. So I'm glad. Okay, guys. Anyway, I'll see you Sunday at 6 o'clock, and we'll have the boy play, and Billy, you have a good weekend too, man. I hope you're doing well and enjoying being out more than just working inside. So okay, see you guys. Have a good night.